Okay, we're continuing in the Sefer Bilvavi, Volume 2. We're on page Tzadi Tes, right at the bottom paragraph. And in your English, it's very close to the end of Chapter 10. So we're talking about this idea of loneliness and how this is a gift of Hashem. That if you feel lonely, then you know you're not on the level, the second level of feeling that Hashem is next to you. And although, even though you feel lonely, and you'll do something to deal with your loneliness as a band-aid measure, but you'll first say to Hashem, I know the problem is because I don't feel close to you. So therefore, I'll do this, but I hope one day you'll help me be close to you. So now, Ech yeida ha'adam shekvar kanas ha'madrega. So now, how do we know if you've acquired this level that you feel Hashem is next to you? So the answer is simple. If you reach a level where you don't ever feel lonely, even for a moment, then that is proof positive that you've reached a true recognition that there is a creator in the world. As long as there are feelings of loneliness have taken hold of you, even at distant times, that's proof that you have not reached that level to perfection. Ulam, however, but it's not possible to reach this level ever to the ultimate of perfection. But a person has to bring himself close as much as possible to this level to feel that Hashem is close to the person. That's what we got to try. Now, kidei lahagia lahakara zos, to get to this recognition, nidreshes avoide shel shonim. It's a work of years. Vena kavana she'ovdim b'meshach shonim b'li lahargish muma. We're not talking you're going to work for years and you'll never feel any closeness to Hashem. No. Vane k'she'ovdim Yeshna hiskadmus vodiskadmus. Certainly when you're working on this, there's going to be progress and more progress. But it's going to take a long time until you're going to really hit a very strong level. But your yearnings and your great efforts should be that you want to reach a level of, as Bilam says in this week's Parsha, the Jewish people are a nation that stands alone. They're self-sufficient. La Madrega, to the level of a Yivaser Yaakov Levado, Yaakov remained alone. Kadosh Baruch Hu Yazer L'chol Yochev Yochev Shizkol Hakers Mekar B'didus. Hashem should help each and every individual to recognize the root of loneliness. L'hakir B'matona Shanois Kadosh Baruch Hu L'chol Yochev Yochev V'Nafsho. To recognize the gift that Hashem gives to each and every individual in his soul. The gift that he feels the loneliness and therefore realizes what he has to work on. Achiniska kolano lios devukim bebore ulagia bemehera levaniska Hashem levado biyomahu. Until you merit to cleave to Hashem and to reach quickly the level of, and Hashem has been elevated alone above on that day. In other words, you reach that level to realize that Hashem is the one that you connect with and you feel that great sensation of closest to him. So, like I said, you know, a lot of the unhappiness in marriage that we find today, even if you love your spouse, you're still unhappy in the marriage, is because of that over expectation and unrealistic expectation you have that your spouse will be able to fill your loneliness in your life. You go into the marriage and that's your big goal. You're setting yourself up for a major disappointment. And then when you feel that loneliness, right, it's not your spouse's fault, you see, because they can't be the ones to provide it for you. You remember, the spouse can be the biggest distraction to loneliness. Okay, but you're going to feel lonely because you're not getting married for the right reasons. And then what happens? Now you're feeling lonely, so you figure it's the other person's fault. Then you start hurting each other, and then you start thinking it's not a good marriage. And the truth is, it isn't to a certain degree, because you're not using the marriage for what it was meant to be used. You're not using the marriage to learn to be a humble person. And when you're a humble person, you can let Hashem into your life. And then when you can let Hashem into your life, then He'll be close to you, and then you won't feel lonely. Right? That's the price you gotta pay, you know, to have marriage help you not be lonely. But it's your wife and husband will not be the solution to the problem. They can only be a tool to the solution to the problem. You know, so then, you know, what's going to happen then, obviously, is then each one complains that the other spouse doesn't think about them so much. You know, this spouse is away at work so much. You're right. So obviously you think your spouse is doing something wrong. The truth is, you're probably both doing something wrong. You're both equally as guilty because you're not getting married for the right reason to begin with. Just don't understand it. So no matter how much your spouse is going to try, you see how this is, you're doomed to failure? You know, so no matter how much your spouse, you're going to complain to us, you know, you're not home enough. So the spouse will be home more. But the problem is, you know, you're expecting your spouse to fill God's shoes. Then it ain't going to happen. You understand what's going on over here? This is like such a profound... You understand how you can't have a happy marriage if you're not... You think you're happy, but you're more distracted than happy. Right? So you know, it's not possible that marriage is going to provide what you want if you're not going to realize that I've got to bring Hashem into this marriage, and I've got to use my spouse as the means to bring Hashem into this marriage. Right? So then what happens? I mean, there's a vicious cycle over here. So no matter how much the spouse tries, the spouse can't fill God's shoes. So what happens? So now my spouse isn't providing me with what I need. So now what do? So nowadays you just get divorced. Right? But if you look at the root of all the reasons why people are getting divorced, it's because of this loneliness. They're still feeling loneliness. So now the spouse gives up on the spouse. So now they're gonna work on the kids to provide the solution for the loneliness. Now they're going to destroy the kids and make the kids miserable. So what do? They monopolize the lives of their kids. So, you know, you have these mothers who are calling their kids five times a day. You know, they can't stop talking to them, right? And with their mistake being, if you really loved me, you would solve my loneliness problems. And they begin to monopolize the children and they supposedly are interested. I love you. I want to know what's going on in your life. Really, I want to put a lot of input. And you're not. And if I meddle in your life, but they don't use the word meddle, of course, then I won't feel lonely. And if I have enough money to bring into the table here, and I'm going to be financially helping out, then I can monopolize the decisions. So you see, we're just using our children to cure our loneliness, which is really very selfish. We don't realize what we're doing over here. You know, that's why you wonder why the kids want to be so far away from you. You understand? Because they intuitively sense what's going on. You know, why the kids, you know, if the parents would just say, listen, you lead your own life. I'm not going to, you need something, you call me. Right? That's the way you're supposed to do things. But if you call up 5-10 times a day, you know, is everything okay? Just call, you know, we're close. It's narishkeit. You're just trying to have them solve your loneliness. That's all it really is. But you think you love them. I'm not saying you don't love them, but it's more of a narcissistic love. You don't realize. It's very subtle. It's so subtle. Chas v'shalom, I don't mean to say people are consciously thinking that way. But that's what's happening. That's what's driving. And that's why you have mother-in-law problems. Because you have mother-in-law problems. Now, the father-in-laws don't give you problems because they distract themselves by going to work all day. That's all. They go to work. they have nothing to do with their wives anyway. Their work solves their loneliness, they think. Right? But it's the mother-in-law or the mother. Right? It's terrible. You hear countless stories. People tell me countless stories how they hate their mothers. They hate their mothers. In our congregation, many women, they hate their mothers. Because their mothers have been abusive to them. Verbally abusive, because they want to control their kids. Because if I control you, then I'm not lonely. So that's what's going on over here. So that's what now our ancestors, you know, who lived with Hashem, you know, okay, hope you're not gonna get upset now, right? They did not need romance in their marriage. right? They didn't have to tell their spouse 10 times a day that they loved them. Didn't have to. Wasn't necessary. And the other one didn't have to hear it. Right? Because they understood that the spouse was an azer. Was an azer, not a solution to the loneliness. It was an azer, not a solution. Right? I'm not saying today that we shouldn't say we love our spouses because we're so far away from Hashem. If we won't feel, you'll get divorced. But don't think saying you love your spouse is a virtue in the ultimate sense of things. I said in the ultimate sense of things, and that's not what it's doing. And your spouses aren't looking for that to train you to love Hashem. The spouse is looking to. So you don't have to say that. If you would say you love Hashem more, your spouse would know you love them. In the old days, parents never said they loved their kids, and their kids knew they loved them. Okay? Does Hashem say He loves you? No, but you know He loves you. The greatest love is when you don't have to say anything and it's felt. When it's felt, you don't have to say. If it's mamish, if you're dovuk to the other spouse, you never have to say they love them, and they're not expecting it, and they don't feel they're missing anything, because they feel the love is coming from the spouse. And when you feel it, it's 10 times better than hearing it from somebody.
I may agree with you, Rabbi, but that's not what we've been taught, by particularly by people who profess to know about relationships.
I understand. Exactly, they're just teaching.
Day,
I understand. They're teaching you. I understand.
Exactly,
they're teaching. They're teaching you Band-Aid solutions to get by.
But that's what. Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
Because you're not living with Hashem. So if you're not going to do this, all hell will break loose.
From a religious perspective, you
understand? You're not hearing what I'm saying. You're not hearing what I'm saying. There is the ultimate level, and then since we're not on the level, then it's the secondary level we have to operate on, or it will fail. But that's not the ultimate, right? If you were living with Hashem, and you were raised that way. And you were raised living with Hashem, and this spouse was raised living with Hashem. Then when they got married, the marriage counselor the rabbi would not say beforehand, tell your wife you love him. You wouldn't have to say it. It's not necessary. Because since you live with Hashem, you will love your wife, and your wife will feel it. Because you both are feeling it via HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the common denominator between the two of you. It will be felt. You don't have to express it. Action speaks louder than words. We all know that.
Yeah.
The problem is our actions aren't close to anything. That's the problem. Can you imagine if both spouses are talking about Hashem all day and how much they love Hashem all day? How much they feel Hashem in the house? You're going to act with so much respect to your spouse. They're going to feel that respect. They're going to feel that love. You don't have to say that which is obviously felt by the other spouse. You know, it's ridiculous. If you really do love them, all the words for love we use today are garbage. We don't even know what it is. We're fooling ourselves
you
what it is.
You're
not listening to what I'm saying.
I am listening.
Since we're not on that level, so now, as they say, we got to fake it till we make it. But that's not the highest level to be on. This is the higher level
to be on. Can we jump to the highest level without going to this level?
So that's why I said, in the meanwhile, we use this, the other method. I'm not saying not to use it. But eventually, if you will master this book and your spouse will master this book, you'll never have to bother to say, I love you. You've gone 10 steps beyond it already. This is all the lowest level. People who don't live with God the way we're supposed to, then of course you have to say you love your spouse. Because if you don't, you'll get divorced. Because you've got to fake it till you make it. But realize you're just faking it. You gotta do it.
The Yiddish Imam
of 100 years ago, the Yiddish Imam never said, I love you to your kids. Never. Never. Didn't have to. Cause the child sensed and knew, cause the child saw the mother was self-sacrificing everything in their lives for the kids. And they knew that when there was only one orange, my mother knew there was only one orange, she got it and not her mother. You don't have to say I love you when you put your kids 100% in front of you and you don't have any ego involved. What do you have to say I love you for? The kid knows it. Kid feels it. But when we're narcissistic people who we need to feel our own happiness in our lives, and our happiness certainly comes before our kids, unless it's vicariously felt through our kids, then you better say you love them because you really don't love them the way you're supposed to. That's the difference. We've got to be honest. We've got to be honest. Brutally honest. The Chovas Avavas says, I don't say it. Chovas says it, says it, says it, says it, says it exactly that way. It is. This is getting deep into it. Chovas Avavas says, nobody loves people for altruistic reasons. He goes through the list. I don't have time to go through this. He says parents don't love the kids altruistically. What did he say? A worker doesn't love the boss. The boss doesn't love the worker altruistically. It's all, for what am I going to get out of it?
I'm missing one thing. And I want to...
Were you here all week?
Regardless...
Coming at the tail end of the issue here, yeah.
But I've been speaking to people about every single part of it. Regardless of how much we show our children how much we love them, what is the Torah source for us not being allowed to tell our children once?
I didn't say you're not allowed to.
So what we want?
I want to ask you one question. Yeah. Does it ever say, now the Torah is your guide for living, right? Uh-huh. And we have a lot of discussions between the patriarchs and the matriarchs. Avram ever say, sorry, I love you?
I'm sure he did.
No. If he said it and it was important, the Torah would have written it.
Every conversation between
the Torah wrote the actions that they did and whatever speech was necessary. But if it wasn't necessary for him to say, I love you, if it was necessary, the Torah would have written it.
Let me repeat myself.
He said he loved her. He said he loved her.
Every conversation between the patriarchs and matriarchs is not in the Torah, which means it also doesn't say in the Torah, and how are you feeling today? And she probably said, Baruch Hashem. And I'm sure it isn't in the Torah, and that conversation is there too. That's not the point. My question is... Okay.
First of all, that is the point. I'm sorry to disagree with your Torah scholarship.
Every conversation between...
conversations that we have to learn something.
You have to learn from the actions and the conversations that are there.
The conversations that exist between them are what for us to learn from that conversation. But that doesn't mean that's the only conversation they ever have. That's nonsense.
And the other ones aren't necessary. But the ones that are there, if God felt it was so important for us to know to say, I love my spouse, he would have written it in there.
He explains
how the patriarchs loved each other, what the behaviors they did to show that they loved each other, and even the discussions they had that showed that they loved each other, but they didn't have to say, I love you.
That's not the question.
Okay, I'm not gonna debate it with you, Yossi, because obviously...
I said that's not the question that's being asked. That's not the question that's being asked.
The question that's being asked is we've been telling you to say you love your spouse, so what's wrong? There's nothing wrong with saying it, but it shouldn't be necessary. If you really are loving your spouse the way the Torah would really tell you to say it, it would be totally superfluous to say, I love you. Okay? It's like the guy who you're down and out, and the guy sees you down and out, and now the guy picks you up out of the gutter, okay, takes you into his house, does everything for you, gives you a new suit, gives you food, gives you an education, finds you a shidduch, finds you a job, finds you everything. Do you think he has to say, I love you? When he totally is putting himself out for the other person, the other person knows he loves him, and he's getting nothing out of it. He never asks anything in return. Would he have to say, I love you? The guy feels the love. So it's a totally superfluous, of course you love him. What do you have to say it for?
So then according to that, our children all know
They don't. Because I'm sorry to tell you, and most parents, you're not doing it all for your kids. And that's what the Chovas Avavas says, not me. So argue with the Chovas Avavas, okay? Okay, I mean, with me, everybody's smarter than me. Fine, I agree. Everybody knows they're smarter than me. Right? So go argue with the Chovas Avavas. Says it clearly. Yeah. Clearly.
We shouldn't tell our children we love them.
He doesn't talk about that. He says nobody loves for the real reasons. And your kids know that. They know that because I'm too busy now to be with you. I'm coming late from work. I'm this and that and everything else. So then we try to compensate by it by saying I love you. Trying to compensate. This is all the classes of marriage that are saying to say you love, say you call, because by nature we're narcissistic. So we're trying to break that. But that's the second. It's a lot easier to teach that than to teach this safer. So at least for the short term that the spouses won't be beating up on each other and will at least have a band-aid. The band-aid can be for many years. Call up many times. Say I love you. So at least the spouse will look like he's trying this and that. And that's all wonderful things and you should do it. When you're not on this level, you better do it. Right? We're gonna teach people, this. Well, by the time we finish this, which takes years, you know, then the marriage will be finished. So of course we teach you all these things. It's a lot easier, can give you 6 lessons. My wife and I did a marriage class. Of course, it's for people that aren't yet ready to invest years and years and who haven't. So of course you need to do those things. But realize that you don't have the optimal marriage and you don't have the optimal life. Forget about marriage. What has it been saying from start to finish? That if you don't really have this, you're far away from where the ultimate goal is. And once you don't have that regarding your relationship with Hashem, then everything in your life is not on that level. Okay? We're not telling you to give up hope and be depressed and sad. Just saying, work on it. But you'll find that if after years you succeed in this program and your spouse would succeed in this program, that you won't have to say you love you. It's so you're miles beyond that already. You need not say that.
I agree with spouses.
You need not say that.
I agree with spouses, but I don't think there's any core source for children, and I'd like to see
okay,
the core
okay,
source.
Okay, okay. Listen, fine, good, thank you. So, but that's clear. That's clear.
One more point,
you know, it's
I
clear.
Distinctly, you telling our group of people at the time.
Even having the most romantic ways that Hashem speaks to us, he never said, "I love you." He said, I took you out on the wings of eagles, and I did this. He's showing them what he did. That obviously says that Hashem loves us. But he never said, I love you.
But you told us to say every day, at a certain moment, Hashem, I love you.
Yes.
I have to say it.
To train yourself to talk to him,
right.
That he exists.
But verbalize it. That's what
you have to because you're so far away from it.
Okay.
You have to hear that you're saying it. You have to talk to Hashem. You have to recognize the kindness that he does for you.
Right.
Because we're so far away from feeling anything to him. But if you do it enough times, you won't have to say it anymore. If you internalize the safer here, you won't have to say I love you anymore. You will feel
it.
That's right. So let's get going. So since it takes years, we shouldn't bother to do it. I don't think our children, we shouldn't send our children to university, because it's going to take years till they get a job.
No, but it's a finite thing. They know.
What do you mean finite? So I'm telling you, after 7 years, I promise you, if you would work on this as much as your children worked on university, I promise you, you'll be there. It's not a Shiloh. No, you 45 minutes a day. If your kid goes to university for 45 minutes a day, he'll never graduate.
When is graduation?
You tell me. When it depends how much time you want to put into it.
You said 7 years.
You tell me how much time you want to put into it.
No, that's not a fair question.
I'm saying if you don't want to do the exercise.
No.
In a couple of years you'll reach these levels, but you got to do the exercises. You got to put the effort in.
She says if you do it in 45 minutes, your kid wouldn't graduate either in 45 minutes.
Right? You're not being fair. I'm going to go to university. I'm going to be a doctor, but I'm only going to study 45 minutes a day on doctorship, and I'm going to do everything else the rest of the day. So then what do you expect? We know that if you want to get anywhere, you got to put a lot of time into it. Right? So that's what he's trying to say. If you really are serious, so at least, you know what? The fact that you're learning this, even if you don't reach any level right away, you're miles beyond anybody else who hasn't even opened up the book. You're miles, because at least you know the emes. At least you know the emes. At least you know the emes. One day maybe you'll come to emes. People don't know the emes. They don't even know that they're not in there. At least now. Now when a person gets angry, you know why you're getting angry. You know what's wrong. You know what the problem is. You don't go to anger management courses. You know, if I got close to Hashem, I wouldn't have to bother with the anger management. All these, I'm not saying we shouldn't have them. But you deal with a guy with anger, and if you don't, we don't deal with the anger today, he's gonna get divorced, and this and that. So we gotta teach him band-aids of anger management. They're all band-aids. That's all it is. So some band-aids work longer, but you have to keep putting the band-aid on. It's better than not putting on a band-aid. Shouldn't put on a band-aid, let the guy bleed to death. But it's not a cure. That's the word. What's the cure? So being close to Hashem is the cure. You wouldn't need one marriage course if a person had this, because it would come automatically. It would come automatically.
It should be taught to children starting from later on.
So good.
If it's so important.
I understand.
You're right.
I understand. So let...
Right.
Talk to Yossi later.
Yossi, who's going to change the world. Just go with him and it's going to... I'm just saying. Okay.
Sorry if you don't like
okay.
it.
Okay. I have no problem with it. Just make sure you change yourself first, as the Baal Shem Tov says.
I'm doing both,
as the Baal Shem Tov says.
Words,
anyway, but that's the problem here. So this is the emes. Okay? Right? And clearly, our ancestors did not say that they loved the other spouse, and they knew it 100%. They didn't have to say they weren't looking for it, and they were besimcha with Hashem and their spouses. They were besimcha. They didn't need it. Right? They didn't have to tell their spouse 10 times that they loved them, because their actions were infinitely greater. You felt, once you feel you're one, once you feel the dveikus, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to say anything. That's the emes. Right? The wife calling the husband a million times a day for trivialities, you know, because they have nothing she has nothing in her life. Right? Right? And the husband has to fill every minute of her life. Because she does nothing to fill her life. Right? Why women have to go to work? Not all of them, because some have to, because Nebuch, the husband, can't make enough parnasa. But a lot of women, they have to go to work. What do you have to go to work for? You have to make enough money. Because I have nothing to do with my life. That's the greatest, saddest thing in the world. I said, husband's got a good job. He's a good provider. You know, there's no problem. The wife already raised 1.3 kids, right? And already there's kids that are in nursery, already in school, you know, for a whole day. So I have nothing, they have nothing in their lives. It's a nebuch. You know, the marriage didn't solve the loneliness. The 1.3 kids didn't solve the loneliness. The cat and the dog hasn't solved the loneliness. Watching soap operas isn't solving the loneliness. So I'm going to go to work. I think that will solve the loneliness. And that doesn't either. Right? I mean, we're already... Don't get me started. We already know why people don't love their kids, because if they did, they'd have more. Universally, I'm not talking about individual cases. The fact that the world has 1.3 kids defines the fact they don't love children. Because if you love them, you'd have more of them. That's the emes. And no one can tell me otherwise. Don't dare tell me otherwise. The fact is staring you right in the face. And I'm not going to say that, you know, some people have challenges having children, and that's God's business already. But that wouldn't change the numbers to 1.3. We've always had people who've been childless. Okay? But the 99.9% of people can have as many kids as they want. So if we all love children so much, we wouldn't be deciding how many we would be having. We're deciding, you know what, how much do I love myself? And 1.3 is just enough to satisfy the love for myself. So if you really love them, they're so wonderful. You know, you love steak. Do you have 1.3 in your life? You have as many as you want because you love it. If you really love children, you'd have as many as you could. So we don't love our kids. Let's not fool ourselves. They're just a tool to satisfy our own narcissistic desires. And could be we had parents who did it the same way, and that's why we did it the same way. If you fell close to Hashem, and Hashem said, Pur Revu, Hashem said, the first thing he said, the most important thing you do is make many more people in my image. You don't start calculating how many can we afford. We drain a cup. You have as many as Hashem will bless you in a reasonable way. In a reasonable way. I add the word in a reasonable way. All right? And even if you space them out 2 years apart, you can still have 10 kids. Oh, what's that going to do to my life? Well, who the hell said it was your life? It's not your life. God gave it to you. It's not your life. You think having 9 kids is easy? It is not easy, okay? And if you want a, you know, a prescription for a life of leisure, it isn't. Right? It isn't. I'm telling you it isn't. You know. But if it's to be an Eved Hashem, man, Hashem keeps you busy all day with them. Right? So the fact, you know, so I was lucky. I went to yeshiva. So they brainwashed me to do that, okay? But I'm saying, don't tell me that the world loves children. They hate them. No, they don't hate them, but they love themselves more than their children. And they use their children as the tools for the, as their pets. Right? As soon as they get, that's why there's so much child abuse. Not just physical, verbal abuse of kids. It's unbelievable. What's the question over here, right? So the wife, what? She's lonely. So what? I have to have a job. And maybe at work people will recognize me and I won't feel so, I'll be with so many other people, I won't feel lonely. It doesn't help. None of this helps. It's not going to help. You know, our ancestors, you know, their spouses went away for weeks. Would have to never go away for weeks to make a buck without communicating. And it was fine. So you have to call. You have to call 50 million times. Call me before you get on the plane. Call me while you're in the air. Call me when you get in. Call me God. Call me. What's the problem with you? Can't you live with Hashem a little bit? Right? If you're connected to Hashem, you know, if you're connected to Hashem, that is your hischaskus. That is your strengthening. You know, you don't need the rabbi to give you inspiring talks. Because if you're with Hashem, that's the biggest inspiration at all. So all this is band-aids. So we're trying to get out of the band-aids and finally go on our own. That's what we're trying. That's what we're trying over here. Okay, I'm not saying go and go home. What did the rabbi say? I don't have to say I love you anymore. I didn't say that. You have to sit down and recognize that until Hashem is a greater part of our lives, I will never be able to love you as good as I can. At least we should know the emes. At least know the emes. And then you work from there. And you should be besimcha knowing that you know the emes. And that you want to try. You want to try. Okay, let's move on to Perek Yudalef. So we finished the second step. Yes, sir. You know, my parents never said they loved me.
Okay, no.
Never, but I know they did. I know they did. Because I knew what my mother had to do to make sure that we survived. Okay, she never said I love you. But I didn't need her to tell she loved me. I didn't need my father to say that he loved me. I knew that he loved me. I knew what they did. Right? So they're still back from Europe. A little bit was left. What was left? A little, not the selfishness. In fact, they had 3 kids after the Holocaust. It's unbelievable, right? What they had to do. It was unbelievable. We don't have this. It's gone. If you don't have any European parents, it's gone. It's just not there. You don't know what you could have had, you know. And I'm sure they weren't as great as their parents were. Because everybody got affected by the Holocaust. That was obvious, right? So okay, we got to work on that. I'm sorry, Frau. Go ahead. Yeah.
Is loneliness an absolute, or is it a matter of degree?
What do you mean?
In other words, you feel more or less lonely, and I'm talking in terms of your connection to Hashem.
It depends. First of all, it depends how much distraction you're using. There's different ways to deal with loneliness. One is distraction. You could fill your life with distractions, so there's a minimum amount of loneliness, right? But the truth is, you're really completely lonely. So it's hard to measure this.
I guess that's what I'm getting at. In other words, what he's saying here is that feeling of loneliness that you have, that fundamental, profound sense of lack of connection to Hashem.
That's right.
And a way to, so therefore you have to find ways to get closer to Hashem.
Correct.
And as you work through it, do you just reduce the level of loneliness, or?
Yes, the closer you are to Hashem, the times that you feel, like he said before, there'll be times when you feel Hashem is close, and that's acquiring the utensils of gold and silver, but it's easy to lose as utensils of glass. Right? It means, you know, you're gonna feel it for a while, then you'll lose it. you lose your concentration, you lose that feeling, and then the loneliness will kick in. So it'll be different levels. That'll be the measurement. You know, putting distractions aside, which is not an easy variable to deal with, but putting distractions aside to the degree that you know, there's whatever, 24 hours to the day, you're awake for, you know, at least 20, okay? So you're awake for 20. So the question is, so during the 20 hours, how many of those minutes were you feeling Hashem? And those minutes you're not going to feel lonely. But then when you get distracted, you know, from your closeness to Hashem, then you're going to feel lonely. So there's going to be levels.
So it's like a gauge on the left
it's
side.
It's a perfect gauge.
Lonely on the right side is close.
But there's a third variable that can mess up all your readings, and that's pure distraction. Right? And people have budgeted their lives to be distracted. You know, why are your kids so bored? Right? Your kids, the week, you know, when they come home from camp, they're bored because they don't have this. Right? You're not, and what are we spending our whole time doing with our little kids, programming them to death, just distracting them? Gotta realize we're raising. I'm not saying a kid shouldn't play hockey. I'm not saying that. And to go once a week to play hockey is a good thing. Kid has to exercise. But you know the programmable children generation that we're in now, right? We take the kid from 4 to 5 to dance, and then from 5 to 6 to macrame, vase, and 7 to 8 a theater, and then they got homework, and then they got the school. I say, you know, it's just keeping busy. What does it keep them busy? So we're training our children from a young age to be kept busy, to be distracted your whole life. You know. And when they're walking in the street, the iPod's blaring music in their ears, keep them distracted. They're being raised. There's never been a generation so trained and raised to be distracted. You know how much harder it's going to be to get them to think about Hashem? It's going to be even harder. Right? And the parents think they love them. But the real MS is, if I don't keep them busy, they're going to make me crazy. Can make me crazy. Right? That's about, and so kids are bored. Kids are so bored. What are they going to do? So we've got to fight. So that it's a huge problem, and there's no simple solutions to this. There's no simple solution to this. But that's the issue. So the equation here can be the instrument we're using can be spoiled. By the fact that there's a distraction element that you will not think that you're lonely. When the truth is you can be incredibly lonely. So if you take out distractions, and if you're doing nothing, do you feel lonely or not? Then that will be the litmus test. When you're sitting in the house and nothing's going on, and you're comfortable with nothing going on, then you know you're getting to that level.
The other part is, my question is that in that state where there are no distractions and you're feeling a degree of closeness to Hashem, if you do something inappropriate, an affair or whatever, and you feel more loneliness because you're not feeling close to Hashem.
Yep, that's when you really feel lonely. After you have averos, you'll feel the loneliest.
Right. Is that right. Pulling away from Hashem or Hashem pulling away from you?
Well, it starts with you pulling away. Hashem never pulls away.
Okay.
Hashem never pulls away. We're the ones who pull away. That's the whole fort. It's the whole fort, the Kutzker. Where is Hashem? Wherever you let him in. He's ready to come in. Hashem, you know, there are times when there's enough pulling away, then Hashem says, you know, then there's something called Hester upon him. Hester upon him. Where God's, then the Beis Hamikdash leaves. That's the ultimate. You pulled so far away. So it's even Hester Panim, Hashem's not really doing that much. We're the ones who push him out. Right? So we're the ones, what do you mean? You're feeling close to him and then you do an Avera. That's an oxymoron. I didn't want to interrupt you. You didn't mean to say that. You know, you do an Avera, then you don't feel close to Hashem. If you're feeling close to Hashem, you ain't doing an Avera. That's proof positive. How can you do an Avera if you're feeling close? Excuse me, Hashem. I know you're right next to me, but I want to talk Lashon Hara right now. You're not going to do it. I don't think so. And if you are, then you're really not close to Hashem. You're fooling yourself. You can say, you're going to say, Hashem, I know you're here, but I'm going to talk Lashon Hara anyway. Then you don't feel you're here. You don't feel he's there. If you felt he's there, you wouldn't do it. Right? Whatever people say about their wives behind their backs, they still wouldn't say it right to their faces. Not in a fit of anger.
So
Right? Because you know she's right there. If you really knew Hashem's there, you wouldn't do an Avera. The fact that you're doing that Avera is proof positive. It's another proof. Because you already said it earlier. How many proofs do we have to know if Hashem is there or not? If we feel Hashem is there. If we feel Hashem is there. Right? Loneliness. Obviously, doing Averas. Doing Averas is when you're going to feel that way. Because that's the biggest proof that you feel he's not there. If you felt he was there, you would never do an Avera. Right? Okay. Perk it out. We move on to the next section. So this is really, we've hit two levels already. And that's what he's going to review. So the next 3 minutes, of course, what he's going to do is review. So we're going to come to the next level. The third step is going to be to feel Hashem's Hashkacha Pratis, Hashem's divine intervention in our lives. And the subcategory is, we're on page Kuf Aleph, Oz V'chedva Bimkomo, strength and joy, bliss, whatever, in its place. Let's summarize the most important points. See, that's the whole point. He keeps reviewing it, so we're not going to forget these ideas. And we just learned it. Doesn't matter. Just keep saying it over and over until we believe it. The first point the person has to work on, to remember that there is a creator to the world. And we've talked about it at length, that a person has to reflect on this thousands of times. To reflect and then to say, who created this item? Who created this tape recorder? Who created these things? Etc., etc. And throughout the day, in the beginning, in the beginning, once every half an hour, and afterwards, with less time intervals, he should say the following words, Yesh, Ribbono Shel, there is a creator of the world. Until the thing is firmly established in his soul. The second point is, live in the reality that Hashem is right next to you. In the chapter 4, we explain how to do that. And what's the end of that level? As we said, he finds himself in a situation where there's no sadness. Why? Because he has constant companionship with Hashem. He doesn't feel any loneliness. Shekain, because as the pasuk says, Oz v'chedvo bim komo, strength and joy is in its place. What does that mean? For HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtza b'chol mokom mokom, and Hashem is found in every place. So once you're with in Hashem's place is strength and happiness. So if you're in that place, there's strength and happiness. No, Hashem's everywhere. If you feel that you're in Hashem's place, you're going to feel that strength and happiness. So it is that when a person merits that in every place, every time, he has this recognition that he feels that Hashem is next to him. He lives with the pathway of joy and happiness and strength. Now, another minute. To reach this level, how are you going to reach this level? There has to preface a burning love for Hashem that's alive. As we will explain later on. When we'll have the recognition that a person is sitting next to, Hashem is sitting next to the person, but Seiruf Ava Mitis Pnimis Rabbanu Shalom, with a true love for Hashem, in other words, he's skipped a step for some reason. We haven't finished the second step. He's going to the third step anyway, because he knows we don't have the second step anyway. But you'll see in the presentation, it will fit better. When you'll have this love for Hashem, and he'll be describing that, that'll make it easier to feel Hashem is next to you. Okay? And that's what kind of a love? An ava sheina tluya b'dover, a love that doesn't depend on anything. Then when you have that love and feeling him next to you, then you can go with this pathway of strength and joy is in his place. Lo shum regesh shel b'dus kol, without any feelings of loneliness. The truth is, the perfect level of this is in the world to come. That's the ultimate perfect level. You feel mamish close to Hashem. Here you can approximate it to great degrees. But in the world to come, you don't have the mask of the body, that's keeping Hashem away from us. Okay, one short thing. The Kuf Beis, just to get to the next topic. And I want to emphasize this so you don't make a mistake. from the recognition that Hashem is next to you alone. Beli madregas av Hashem, without reaching a level of love of Hashem, you can't go with joy. It's so important. You know, people think Hashem's with me all the time, and therefore I can't do anything. It's like the KGB. If you just integrated Hashem is here all the time, but you haven't integrated a love for Hashem, then you've turned Hashem into a KGB agent. You're as afraid to do anything because he's going to punish you. And that's not what he wants. Sarach afat serv shoshem. You have to combine the two. Gam avas Hashem boris belibo, that a burning love for Hashem is in his heart. Vegam akar shekar shvarim l'sov yero, and that Hashem is next to you. When we get later on in the book to the how to love Hashem, then we'll synthesize this with this. So he's saying a very important yisod, that just feeling Hashem is next to you is not going to make you a happy person. You got to learn what love of Hashem is. When you put it together with Him being next to you, then there'll only be joy in Simcha. Mitzvah Hashem, we should all be around to reach that level to appreciate that joy.